Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world.
So before I do get started, again, I just want to say James is so clearly written. I read through this several times, many times, just trying to see an outline, and it just popped out. The outline that you have before you is basically just the exact words that are in this passage that we're going to talk about today. James is an excellent teacher, and he makes it easy for us to be wise. And so it was easy for me to come up with this outline because James is so easy to follow. And so I found out that, you know, he talks a lot about the word. And so that's basically what you're going to, you know, most of my focus is on the word this morning. And I realized that there are three sections of what it kind of boiled down to in this passage, and that is this: how to receive the word, how to do the word, and how to be the word. And that's the three main headings on your outline: is receive the word, do the word, and be the word. Under receive the word, and that is verses 19 to 21, it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let everybody be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to angry. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." And so again, I see this just clearly come out. It says there's things that should happen before you receive. There's a reason why we receive, and there's a way to receive. And so before you receive, the outline, and he clearly says, be quick to hear, be slow to speak, be slow to become angry. That's our requirement. When we want to receive the word, we need to be thinking of those three things: slow to speak, slow to angry, but quick to hear. For one to be quick to hear, that means we need to listen. And so, duh. If James says we need to be quick to hear, that means he's telling us we don't listen so well. We don't listen, and we're poor listeners. And Paul knows, even back then and now, in today's age, we're poor listeners. And I think a lot of it has to do with because we're very busy. We have a very hectic life. We substitute meaningful conversation with a filled-up calendar. We empty the ability to listen by filling up our life with things that turn us away to little gods around us, things that will fill our life up. And James is saying, be quick to listen. When's the last time we just stopped and listened? Our media doesn't help us. It fills us up with 3-minute bites of this or that. It's a wonder anybody can last almost an hour for preaching. And actually, even a movie are long, you know, they're about an hour, hour and a half. But just take, next time you watch a movie, take a stopwatch and click the stopwatch every time a scene changes. It's probably about 25 to 30 seconds. They got to keep our attentiveness. And so, again, I feel sorry for you here. You're going to listen to me, and I'm just the only scene you get to see. But our world around us knows that we do not listen for too long. And so there's things that we can do. There's things that we can do to listen better. We need to work on listening. That requires eye contact. When we're engaging in conversation, we can look people in the eye. We can take notes. I kind of helped you a little bit with the notes so you can fill in the blank. But these are good to do. It helps us to listen. And I know sometimes it doesn't help for some people to take notes. So if you're one of those people that do not like taking notes and it distracts you, don't take notes. Just listen. But we need to limit ourselves from the busyness of life. We need to limit ourselves from things like the media. These things control us. Knowing too much, it controls us. We need to meditate on God's word. We need to read it more often. We need to slow down maybe on some of our activities throughout the week. And for us, even right now, as we try to listen to a sermon, maybe sometimes we need to just prepare for Sunday morning. Prepare by maybe even setting our alarm earlier, going to bed early, maybe not doing anything on a Saturday night. And when we get up, we pray that we're not impatient and are angry with other people. Read our passage that we're going to listen to today. Prepare our minds. There's a lot we can do to listen better. It's been said that most families argue more on a Sunday morning than they do during the week. Do we prepare for listening? Do we prepare throughout the week? Well, so if we need to listen more, we also need to be slow to speak. And so James says, you know, we talk too much. That's why he tells us to be slow to speak. And so most people love talking about themselves, and that's true. Especially if we have a difficult time, we like to tell everybody what's going on, how difficult our life is. But James is talking to his beloved brothers, and he knows that we have the indwelling spirit to help us, to help with our needs and to give us the guidance we need. And so what I think James is saying, in the midst of our trials, it may be beneficial not to run all over town talking about our problems, but maybe listen to God. Listen to what he has to say. Ask him for advice. He also says slow to angry. And being slow to become angry is when I lean on God, when we lean on God's power. And again, he's assuming that we're quick to become angry. Getting angry, and don't try this at home, getting angry is like sticking a fork in an electrical outlet in your wall. There's a lot of electricity there behind the wall. You plug things in, but if you stick a fork in it, all you're doing is short-circuiting it. And that's exactly what our anger does. It short circuits everything. And it's dark. And that's us when we let anger become us. You see, God gave us two ears and only one mouth. And so we need to be listening twice as much as we talk. And our ears are always open. And our mouth, our tongue is covered by teeth and lips, two double rows to keep them in bounds. I mean, even the makeup of our face, God's kind of telling us something. Listen more, speak less. And so aside from the difficulties I'm having here with technology and my ability to preach, James is saying you really should not have any problem listening to the word. You need to train yourself, no matter how hard it is, no matter how bad of a sermon or how bad someone proclaims the name of Jesus Christ, we need to be listening. We need to not be angry. We need to not be speaking so much. Why do we receive? Why should we receive? That's our next thing in the bullets. Why do you receive? Well, we receive because it says it clearly in there. It says we're angry. James is saying the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. James is saying we're angry, filthy sinners. And we want what we want, and we get angry when we don't get it. And so we feed on anger and bitterness. Well, remember from last week, When we feed on sin, when we consume sin, it actually starts to consume us. And the only thing that combats sinning and the consuming nature of sin is to know how much God loves us, to know how much He cares for us, and to know how much of a fool I am when I become angry, and how wretched I am as a sinner. All day long we're being consumed by the world, our own flesh, and the devil. But what I need to do is receive God's word, because it is good. It revives my soul. It revives our soul. I need to understand that God is my Redeemer. God is my rock. God is good. He does good. And I need to know His ways. I need to let Him take vengeance on my anger. When I take vengeance on my own anger, it never goes right. It never goes right. It's like sticking a fork in an electrical outlet. When you let your anger take the best of you, maybe you should stick a fork in an outlet. Maybe it'll stop you. If you want to test how wicked this world is around us and how much wickedness has filled us, try this summer, as we're beginning summer, try turning off your TV for the whole summer, turning off your Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever other media outlet you have. Turn them off for just 2 months. And devote the time you spent in those forms of media to devoting yourself to the media of God's Word. Just try that for just 2 months. And of course, after 2 months, go back to it. I will tell you, you will be shocked. You'll be shocked to understand the craziness of this world. I remember when I was a kid, our TV, we had the TV turned off because we just didn't have the money to afford cable. And so there was 2 years we didn't have TV. And there wasn't even a TV in our house. Man, I remember getting really good grades back then. And then when we first got the TV, it was the 13-inch, black and white. And it, you know, we started looking at some of the programs. Before long, we were glued to it, right? And then surely I saw a ratio of my grades going down as the TV watching went up. So I know firsthand. But in order to receive the word, in order to benefit from it, we need to get rid of sin. And not us getting rid of sin. We ask God to do that for us. I get that. But we're active in this, right? We need to fight sin. And I liken this to being like when we receive guests, what do you do to your house? When you receive guests, don't you do a little cleaning up? You spruce it up, you know, put the cushions back on the couch, and you maybe vacuum or put away the junk on the floor. Right? You clean up a little bit. You want to receive people in a good way. The same way with receiving the Word of God. If I am full of sin enough, if I am bent on sinning, how am I going to receive the Word of God? I need to stop what I'm doing, ask God for guidance, ask Him for forgiveness, and read His Word. See, Ephesians and Colossians tell us this. It's like putting off and putting on. So we put off the old manner of life. We ponder the Word of God. And by pondering the Word of God, we put on a new life, a life of righteousness. So we need to ponder and look at truth. But doing that, we are putting off the old sinful nature. And by looking at the Word of God, we put on what the Word says for us to do. It is the righteousness that is ours in Christ. And this meekness that James is talking about, with meekness, of course, he's not talking about weak Christians, but teachable Christians, teachable hearts, people that have open arms to welcome God's Word, no matter how hard it may be for us. This is more than just listening and then forgetting. It's putting into practice the implanted word. And of course, this implanted word that James is saying, it sounds exactly what it is, implanting it. It sounds like seeds we implant in the ground. And I know it's, you know, just about summer right here, middle of summer. It's a hot day. And most of you in the springtime have hopefully planted some seeds, and you're going to expect some plants coming from them. And that's what God's expecting from us. He has implanted the word, and He's expecting something to grow. He needs to see things happening in our life. And he will see them in our life. And James is helping us that we need to be active. Things need to be growing in our life. Spirit-filled things, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. But we can also cultivate that, just like we do a garden. We cultivate it by watering it, protecting it from maybe a frost or protecting it from predators. Cultivating the soil is like habits of worship, prayer, fellowship, righteousness. This is how we cultivate the word that we receive. It's implanted. It is growing, but we need to cultivate it. And again, you can only do this if it's implanted in you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Ezekiel 11, you can write this down for reference. Look at it again. Ezekiel 11, 17 to 20 tells us this, and I think this is very applicable, very appropriate. Let me say it the right way, the word I can actually pronounce. Very appropriate for even knowing what the implanted word is. God says, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered. Kind of sounds like these scattered people here that James is talking to. And I will give you the land of Israel. And when they come there, you will remove detestable things and all its abominations. And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Why? So that they may walk in my statutes. That's doing the word of God, right? And keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I'll be their God. Right? That's what God does. He implants the word so that we do it, so that we obey. But some of you people that pray really well, Jim, you're one of the prayer warriors I know in this church, many others, pray for us. Because we are so insensitive to sin. Our increasing self-centeredness, we like to justify our sin. We ignore it. We don't recognize it. And we don't want to confess it. But when we do, we know that we have been forgiven. And this tragic shift of self-centeredness and self-esteem and self-focus, it's an abomination to God. See, our purpose is to glorify God, not exalt self. And we must be concerned more with what sin does to our relationship with God than what it does to acknowledging our sin does to our pride. And we must, and again, as a whole, James is saying that we must remember that these trials are an important part of our maturing in Christ. This means I have to suffer a little bit. I'm not picking on anybody, but if we complain too much, just think of Elmer Fudd. Well, I thought God didn't want me to suffer. I know it's a sin, but God doesn't want me miserable. And fill in the blank. Whatever you are prone to do because you think God loves you so much, you need to sin. God's primary concern for us is holiness, not happiness. And if we understand that, we'll understand how to really be happy in God as we find our joy in trials. Joy in knowing more of who God is and what he has in store for us. And the only way that I have real joy is if I pursue holiness. If you pursue holiness. And a lot of times that is in the midst of trials. Oh yeah, by the way, happy Father's Day. Because it's Father's Day, just like Dave said with Mother's Day, we used to, and I used to preach a Father's Day message, but here we're just in the Word. And I think that's the best thing for fathers. And in fact, we're going to have a little theology this morning. And so when James says the Word of God is able to save your souls, I need to explain that just a bit. Because the Bible doesn't save us. Who saves us? Jesus Christ. God in the form of Jesus Christ. And so let me just kind of explain this, because like, what are you talking about? Okay, so there's two terms, big ones here. General revelation and special revelation or specific revelation. And general revelation is just knowing something about God, right? Psalm says, the heavens declare your glory, right? We can know something about God, and that's general. But then there's this thing, it's called special revelation, and that is happens when God reveals something special of who he is to us. Of who I am in light of a holy God. And it's the gospel. That's special revelation. And that's only found in the Word of God. And so the Word of God is able to save us because it talks about who actually saves us. Jesus. And again, he says, you're able to save you. Of course, that's another thing. Wait a minute, I thought I was already saved. Again, you have to understand salvation is talked about in several ways. Once we're saved and we've been declared righteous, but then we go through this process of salvation called sanctification, where we learn and grow. But then there's also going to be that ultimate glorification, and that is salvation as well. What James is talking about here is through trials, God is saving us and sanctifying us as we pursue holiness, as we have the implanted word to guide us to do the right thing, to obey him, and then ultimately for our glorification, to see God. And so if you have questions, I only just touched on that real quick. We could talk later. But I must move on because I want to have a little quicker sermon today. It's nice and hot. So the next point is do the word. Let me reread that section again, verses 22 to 25. I guess you could probably figure out how I got the word do the word. It's right here. But be doers of the word. Kind of simple. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So, I got this mirror here just to help you. Just to help you understand, the mirror, we all use a mirror, right? We use mirrors to brush our teeth, right? I got to see the mirror to brush my teeth. Otherwise, I'm brushing my ear or my cheek, right? I comb my hair, right? I got to look at the mirror. I got to stay looking at the mirror when I do that. You know, if I comb my hair, I got to look at the mirror to comb my hair, right? If I have junk on my face, right? I wipe my face off. I have to look at the mirror, right? If I try wiping my face, without looking at the mirror, right? I wipe my face and I can have junk on my face added to myself. Oh, that's pretty bad. Hold on a second. I need to look at the mirror, right? Not the world, not to myself. I need to look at the mirror and check it out. Now, it may be red, right, for a little bit. It may hurt for a bit, but I need to look intently at the mirror. Do you get what I'm saying? We need to look intently at the Word of God. That's the mirror that God has given us. We don't need to look to the world. We don't need to look to ourselves. We don't need to ignore it. We need to look at it. And we need to do what it says. James is an excellent teacher, not only because he makes very complex things like saving faith, he turns them into simple terms, but he connects with us because he makes it relevant. This book is not for an armchair theologian or Christian couch potatoes. This book is for doers. And so when you read this book, you need to do something. Something, if you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will cause you to do what you hear and what you read in the Word. And when we receive new birth, we receive new life. That implanted word, it's not just a get out of hell free card. No. It's everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. So you know trials are coming, so prepare for them. In times of peace, grow closer to the one who has saved you. Grow closer to those around you who have been saved. Develop habits of prayer and Bible study and prayer for your faith. Know that when the trials come, it's never too late to ask, but you are stunting your ability to go through a trial if you wait until a trial to start doing these things. God has given us all we need for life and godliness. We must read His Word. And when we do it, we'll persevere. And then we'll be blessed. And that is the next thing that happens. We'll persevere and be blessed by the Word. You see, saved sinners desire new things. That drunk, instead of desiring liquor, he can thirst for the living water. The thief, who instead of loving to steal, can desire to be generous. That's the blessing. A liar who used to lie all the time can speak truth. It's because of the Holy Spirit that resides in us. It's how we can say no to sin. Instead of endless nothing from Hollywood and our phones and Facebook, we can indulge our minds with things that promote our indwelling spirit and promote worshiping the Holy One. Instead of a lazy life of coveting, we can be comforting others. We can serve them. It is all through and by the power of the Holy Spirit that directs our desires, that transforms our minds to fill our souls up with godly books and music. Our phones should be filled with theologically correct music and sermons and things to edify us. It's just like eating. When you eat a lot, you're filled up. And like we talked about, temptation's lure. When we're full, we have little appetite for temptation. It is the best thing for temptation, to fight temptation, is to fill up on God's Word. Remember last week, temptation is there to entice us. You know, it's really hard to go after fish who are full. Fat fish don't take the bait. It's the ones that are hungry. And so what are you hungry for? What are you filling yourself up? And this blessing that James is talking about, the blessing is actually doing the Word. It's persevering in what God tells us to do. We're blessed as we get closer to God. We understand more of what our function is as part of His kingdom. We're blessed with no lingering guilt from last night's party. We're blessed as we continue to fight sin, move towards Christ, actually live like Christ. You see, the devil can't take away our salvation, but he sure can pollute our testimony, our witness. And the devil wants us to not be content. He hates contentment, but he loves complacency. And that's, I think, a lot of us Christians fall into that. We're saved and we're just complacent, and so we don't need to draw any closer. We're close enough, and I got other things going on in my life. We need to work overtime at putting aside filthiness and wickedness that remains in us. We know that feeling that we've had when of being saved by sin, the sin that we've had in our past. We know that God has saved us from that. And we understand that now that we're saved, there's some weird feeling of being more sensitive to sin. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Don't be mad at it. Develop it. Develop your sensitivity to sin. And guess what? All you got to do is confess it. Confess your sin. Because God is faithful and just. He'll cleanse you, but He will also lead you into righteousness. Back to the word look. It's the same word that Peter said in the Bible when Peter looked at the empty tomb, or when Mary Magdalene looked at the empty tomb and wept. You see, they looked intently because they realized something was wrong. Jesus wasn't in the tomb. We need to look intently at the Word of God. We need to look at the mirror of the Bible and realize every time we look, there's something wrong with us. Apart from God, we can do no right. No good dwells within us. We are wretched. Who will deliver us from this body of death? Jesus can. He can because He's the one who lived perfectly. He obeyed the perfect law so that we can have liberty. We can be free in Him. But remember, biblical knowledge demands action. Not action to be saved, but action because we're saved. I want to just throw this here, parables and riddles, something to throw along this sermon to help you understand. God says in the book of Matthew, He says, to you has been given the secrets of the kingdom, but to the outside world, to others, it hasn't been given. For the one who has, more will be given. That's the blessing, right? The more you look, the more you're blessed. And you will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, it'll be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. They see and they don't. By seeing, they don't see, and hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand. And the word used, understand, is actually fully understanding is doing. We may not fully understand the truth that we look at the Bible when we first see it, but truth acted on brings more truth, brings blessing. But however, failure to respond to truth will ultimately result in loss of truth. And so whatever you know to be true from the Word of God, act on it. Dig into God's Word. Don't be that guy with the two talents and hit him. Because not only were his two talents taken from him, he was cast into outer darkness where weeping and gnashing happens. I'm not going to talk about losing salvation, but if the Word of God is not active in your life, I'd be concerned. Be the Word. 26 and 27. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is to the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world. And I you can hear from the text, I'm going to continue to sound harsh, and I don't mean to be harsh. But people can go to church regularly and pray beautifully, give a lot, and do wonderful things, only to hear Jesus say, "I never knew you. Depart from me."
That's right.
And so the answer is, how will I know? How will I know if I'm that guy, the one that's got two talents, or if I'm going to be with him? Here it is. Are your actions stimulated by the religion of your own creation? Or are your actions stimulated by the religion of God's creation? And James looks at three things to help us out with this. If the Word is active in us, or if it's just us active. It's look at your tongue, look at who you're visiting, and look at what you're keeping yourself from. And so that's the last three things on our outline here. Be quiet or be discreet. Be visiting the needy and be keeping it real. So the S word. Maddie, she has a speech therapist. And so years ago, back in primary, she learned this word in school. She didn't learn at our house. But she learned this word, and she would tell her teacher, shut up, when she was mad or when she didn't want to do something. And so we heard about this. Of course, we disciplined Maddie the way we can discipline her. And the teacher helped us discipline Maddie. And she didn't say it for a long time, weeks and weeks. Until one time, our teacher told her to do something in class, and typically something Maddie didn't like to do. And didn't say anything. Like, wow, this is something else. But when class was getting ready to end, Maddie motioned for the teacher to come over and give her a hug, right? And so when the teacher bent down to give Maddie a hug, she whispered in her ear, "Shut up." James is helping us out. He's telling us, shut up. That's what he's saying. See, James warns us over and over of self-deception. We can easily deceive ourselves.
That's right.
I get tripped up thinking I need to be vocal when I evangelize people. When I work in construction, I'm a plumber, and I feel if I'm not saying stuff to guys that there's something wrong, and so I have to try to throw in a verse or something. And I got to have opportunities, and I pray for opportunities to evangelize. And yes, we need to say the gospel. It needs to come out. But James is focusing on the other part of evangelism here. So don't let me minimize. The evangelism and the gospel need to be said. So you need to open your mouth. But we don't need to speak so much to get people to listen to us. You see, the guys I work around with would get a kick out of when it would get real stressful and to see how upset I would get. And where I work, sometimes it gets stressful, especially in that shutdown modes. There's a certain amount of time, and we're in the city, so we're shutting down power and water and heat to big buildings, hospitals and whatnot, and things that got to be running. And it's go time. And it can be stressful. But what baffled them, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, but what baffled these guys is my lack of getting anger towards things. They would see people in my face and it wouldn't affect me. And clearly, it used to affect me a lot. But God's been working on me, and he still has a lot to do. But the guys I work with, they would expect me to get angry. They would expect me to shout things out my mouth, profanities. But when I didn't do that, it really is like that's what they were more amazed at. They were more amazed that the Holy Spirit kept my mouth shut rather than entertaining them with my Bible knowledge. And then through that, they would ask me when they have times of trouble. Then they would ask me, what does the Bible have to say for this? And so a true test of man's religion is not his ability to speak, which we're prone to think, but his ability to bridle his tongue. Every tree, especially a stressed out tree, is known for its fruit. But how can we speak good when we're evil? Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. And so even though some may avoid filthy talk or lying or profanities, just remember a lot of us Christians struggle with gossip and slander. And so you need to be fighting sin wherever it is. We need to visit the needy. James uses orphans and widows. He's just basically talking to us about all the people who are in need. If you observe and practice being a Baptist or think about how big of a gym you can build for the community, it means nothing if you have no concern for the needy. It doesn't. We could do a lot of things, but if we have no concern for needy, it means nothing. And if you want to learn more about this, just look at chapter 2 in James, and he goes on about people who just love people with clout, or respected people, that is. If you love to distinguish rich people and dishonor poor, well, you've made a judgment with an evil thought. You see, the poor are rich in faith. We need to actually be around these people. They're heirs to the kingdom. We need to be visiting them. And when a man gets too high that he can't reach down to help others around them to serve, something's wrong. The Bible actually says it better. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, How does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. That explains what James is talking about here. And we may say we don't have time, but if we have time for recreation or social visits or all the things that we fill up our calendar with, we have time for visiting the needy. And lastly, keeping it real. We need to be keeping it real. I have plenty of work clothes, but if you ask my wife, I have a tendency of not changing them before I get into household chores. And so very instantly my good church clothes turn into work clothes because they become stained and soiled with paint, grease, and all kinds of dirt. It's because I don't know how to prepare myself. I don't know enough to walk away from the situation, to change my clothes, and go back into it with a prepared heart, a prepared mind. Don't be like me in spiritual matters. When helping other sinners, know what the world's peddling. Get away from it, put on the armor of God, and go back and fight with the right clothes, the right armament. Know the difference between enjoying life and enjoying worldly living. The world calls a lot of things that are sin good. Killing unborn children is not a reproductive choice. Sexual perversion is not sexually liberating. Incriminating innocent people is not a movement. And deciding who bakes what for you is not a criminal offense. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And it's easy to become self-deceived because of our religiosity. We are so easy to become religious in our own ways. But James shows us it's really about bridling our tongues, visiting the needy, and having a pure heart. He's good. He does good. And I pray that all of us will understand his ways. So we need to ask faith, not for our own faith, but the faith that God gives us. If we look to him, look to Jesus, and keep looking to Jesus, and by looking at Jesus intently in the mirror, do what Jesus tells us to do. He is the Lamb without blemish. We need to follow his role.